It is Friday, January 18th, 2013, and this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Support for KUAF comes from Culligan of Northwest Arkansas, offering drinking water and a variety of water treatment products and services available for home or business. Products include water softeners, filtration systems, reverse osmosis drinking water systems, plus bottled water and softener salt delivery. 717-2960 or hallswater.com for more information.
Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, two Northwest Arkansas legislators, one from each party, tackle wage theft.
Plus, Robert Ginsburg talks to Claudia Burson, and she sits down at the Mary Baker Rumsey Steinway piano to play an original composition. We'll also get a preview of the Regional Art Museum in Fort Smith that opens tomorrow night and more.
First, former Arkansas House Speaker Robert Moore has been named to a 10-year term on the Arkansas Highway Commission. Governor Mike Beebe made the announcement yesterday, with Moore replacing Commission Chair Madison Murphy, whose term on the panel is expiring. Moore says he is realizing the significance and challenges of maintaining good highways.
What it means to families who are able to know that they can get their children to school safely, what it means to people who often have to travel long distance, go back and forth to work, and access the marketplace, not only to the consumer, but to the businesses who depend upon their customer base being wide and far. And business and industry, undoubtedly, good roads, what it means to future economic development of the state cannot be overstated.
Moore's appointment comes as an idea is being floated in the legislature to use state general revenue for highway funding, even though Arkansas voters last year approved a 10-year funding package worth nearly $2 billion. We'll have more on the story later on this edition of Ozarks.
Arkansas House Majority Leader Bruce Westerman, a Republican from Hot Springs, says GOP lawmakers will push for proposals to streamline state government. In an interview with Talk Business, Westerman says he drafted a bill that would cap spending.
I've got a bill that it says that the state budget can't grow more than the state economy is basically what it's saying, that will contain the growth of state government. And had we put this into place 10 years ago, we would have averaged about $250 to $300 million per year surplus each year and still been able to grow state government at a modest rate.
Westerman says Republican majorities will deliver on proposals they made last year to restrain spending, push for tax and legal reforms, and support policies that sustain Medicaid and promote educational excellence.
The Arkansas Supreme Court ruled yesterday it will not reconsider its ruling that allows school districts to keep excess property tax revenue if they raise more money than what is set under Arkansas's funding formula. The case stemmed from the Eureka Springs and Fountain Lake school districts. Both filed suit after the state kept additional tax collections to be spread out to other districts around the state. Governor Mike Beebe says he isn't happy with the decision.
My reaction is the same as it was before they didn't grant the rehearing. It's still a 4-3 court. I still think they messed it up, but they are the court.
State officials have warned last year's decision could jeopardize Arkansas's school funding system, which was tied up in court challenges for years.
The Milken Institute is once again placing Northwest Arkansas among the top 50 best-performing large metropolitan areas in the nation. The Fayetteville-Springdale-Rogers Metropolitan Statistical Area, which includes Washington, Benton, and Madison counties, as well as McDonald County, Missouri, is ranked 41st out of the 200 largest metropolitan areas in the nation. Northwest Arkansas was actually ranked 26th in last year's list, but the area ranked 24th in the subcategory of five-year wage growth, 8th in wage growth over the past year, and 25th in job growth over the past 12 months.
The city of Fayetteville is also receiving some recognition. According to a release by the city, Arkansas Business recognized Fayetteville as a 2012 City of Distinction in the categories of green or energy conservation initiatives and technology advancements. The awards were given to the city at the annual Municipal League Conference yesterday in Little Rock. The Green or Energy Conservation Initiatives Award was given to the city for its efforts to generate new revenue by drying and selling biosolids from the Fayetteville's wastewater treatment plants. The Technology Advancement Distinction was awarded to Fayetteville based on the development of the Arkansas Research and Technology Park.
In an entirely different ranking, one Northwest Arkansas city has been named a great place for families. Bloomberg Businessweek lists Bella Vista as the best place to raise kids in Arkansas on this year's iteration of a list of best places to raise kids in the country. According to the publication, housing costs in Bella Vista average around 16% of a household's income, and the median family income pegs just upwards of $68,500. In addition, the publication noted that the opportunities for recreation, such as fishing in one of the city's seven lakes, as well as the varied educational opportunities offered at Bentonville High School, as reasons for the city's ranking.
The final round of lineup announcements for this year's Wakarusa Music Festival is out. Announced yesterday, among the 37 acts featured in the third lineup announcement in as many weeks were Sound Tribe Sector 9, the Black Crows, and the Fayetteville band, the 1 Ounce Jig. Other acts already announced for the festival include Umphrey's McGee, Calexico, Widespread Panic, Yonder Mountain String Band, Sunvolt, and New Monsoon, just to name a few of the nearly 100 bands. Festival will be May 30th through June 2nd on Mulberry Mountain in Franklin County. More about the Wakarusa lineup on Sunday's edition of Weekend Ozarks at Large.
Tonight's weather forecast calls for mostly clear conditions with a low of 33 degrees. Tomorrow, expect sunny skies with a high in the upper 50s to lower 60s. And tomorrow night, expect clear conditions with a low from 31 in northwest Arkansas to a low of 36 in the Arkansas River Valley.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me on the phone from Fort Smith is Michael Tilley. He is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers business, politics, culture, and more for the entire region. Michael, welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me again.
I want to talk to you about a couple of things that are somewhat mysterious, somewhat up in the air. First, starting with the 188th, the fate of what will happen with the 188th. I don't expect by the end of this day we'll have any other answers, but there will be some questions.
Right. Yes, I mean, we have the chief of staff of the Air Force, General Welsh, coming to town today, and, you know, this is, you're right, you nailed it, Kyle. It seems like every time we have a press conference or there's some more information about the 188th, we end up with more questions. And for those in your audience not up to speed, is, you know, the 188th has the A-10 planes. They've been tagged to leave, and so the 188th has lost its will lose its A-10 mission soon now. I've talked to Senator Bozeman's office. They say nothing. It's not in legislation. This is an Air Force decision. It could be changed, but and it could, like we've talked about before. You know, we didn't when the 188th was losing the F-16s. We thought that was the end of the world, and at the last minute, literally a Hail Mary pass, the A-10s come in. So who knows what could happen? You know, this is something that's gonna. This is a process that will begin 18 months to 2 years down the road in terms of cycling the A-10s out, but. General Welsh is in today to talk about, or to look. He's apparently come down, which I find interesting, Kyle. He comes to look and investigate the 188th and its efficiencies after the decision has been made. So I'm having a hard time not being too cynical about this whole thing.
Another mystery is this super project that the governor hinted at in his State of the State address, and now Mr. Tenniel has commented on it in Little Rock. We don't know much about it. But it could be huge, they say.
Well, it could be huge. From what I gather, it will not be a project in Northwest Arkansas or in the Fort Smith area. For those who are on pins and for those two or three folks on pins and needles waiting for that info, but yes, super project, and it could require us to engage Amendment 82. You remember we voted on this a few years ago. And it allows the state to issue bonds for improvements, for incentives on projects that where the investment is over $500 million and it creates at least 500 jobs. And, you know, we're being told that this super project, the investment value will be north of $1 billion. So we'll probably see this play out soon in the legislature because the legislature has the members of the General Assembly. There's a process that includes them. It includes Arkansas Development Finance Authority, the chief fiscal officer, which is Richard Weiss. So it's not just going to be a simple process. We'll soon see the mystery unfold.
More details to come. tune in tomorrow. Yeah.
Yes, stay tuned.
You have a headline on thecitywire.com that says Fort Smith real estate market shows resilience. And I don't know whether that resilience word is something that economists like or not. Does that denote something beneficial for the economy or not?
Well, I think it's a term that was we picked up from talking to the realtors in the area, realtors and developers who, you know, and they're, and I don't blame them, they're trying to put as good a face on the industry, the residential real estate industry in the Fort Smith metro area as possible. And, you know, it's tough. You know, you lose Whirlpool and you've had the job losses. We've had unemployment that we can't seem to get below 7.5% in the area. And even when unemployment does dip in the area, it's because both the workforce and the number of employed have dipped. So sometimes the unemployment rate really doesn't tell us what we have in terms of the number of employed. But, you know, in the Fort Smith area, Sebastian County had a little over 1,100 homes sold for the year, and the value is even relatively flat. It's about $153 million in 2012 compared to about $154 million in 2011. And so the difference, the total in the home sold and the value is just 0.4%. So when it comes to when they use the term resilient, they are saying, and I think we agree with them in our story, is that all things considered, the residential real estate sector in Sebastian and Crawford County held up pretty well.
And part of that consideration, looking at foreclosure numbers, Arkansas has been kind of, certainly hasn't been Arizona or California or Nevada, but foreclosure numbers even went down in the last part of 2012.
Right, and that was compared, of course, you know, we had, and it'll be probably another 6 to 9 months before we can have some apples to apples comparison, because we had a judicial issue with the way foreclosures, not just in Arkansas, but there are several states in which foreclosures were adjudicated, and that has been cleared up. It's been cleared up for several months. So those foreclosures that were all bottled up, that the banks or whoever had to hold on to that real estate, that's beginning to cycle back in terms of home sales. And we're watching that closely because as those cycle in, we're curious to see if that, how it affects, I should say, median home prices. Does it bring the overall price down? Because in 2012, one of the key things we saw in the Arkansas real estate sector was home prices not only stabilized, but they began to increase, which is, for anyone watching an economy, that is a clear good sign of economic improvement.
And finally, the Regional Art Museum in downtown Fort Smith in a former bank building. The opening reception is tomorrow night, and it's open for business after that.
Right, and you know, we've been waiting a long time for this, and kudos to the Regional Art Museum board and to Lee Ortega, the director. They open with Mona Lisa Secrets, and we'll have this going forward. It'll be a great asset for the community. And we'll have coverage on the CityWire, so check around Sunday. We'll have photos and a story of the opening gala event. So should be an interesting. It's an interesting opening, and it's nice to have this type of activity in the Fort Smith area.
We have a story later on this edition of Ozarks about it. I talked to Lee Ortega, got a small walkthrough. I think it was Tuesday. And if you think there could be stress when you're about to open up a brand new museum and you're 100 hours out, you're right. She was doing fine, but you could tell there was a lot to be done between then and tomorrow night.
Well, they will do well.
Yes, they will.
They've done well. They'll pull it off, and nobody will know that they ever dropped a bead of sweat.
There you go. Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers politics, culture, business, and more. Michael, thank you as always for your time.
Not a problem. Talk to you next week.
Coming up from NPR News, it's special coverage of Inauguration Day. As President Obama retakes the oath of office, NPR will be there, bringing you his address to the nation and the parade down Pennsylvania Avenue. I'm Audie Cornish. Join me and Steve Inskeep for all the festivities. It's special coverage of Inauguration Day from NPR News.
In NPR's live coverage of the presidential inauguration will be Monday from 9 a.m. until 1 in the afternoon, so we will not have a noon edition of Ozarks on Monday. However, Monday night at 7, we do have a special edition of the program, which will include stories of service to the community, that in honor of the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. holiday.
The first week of the 89th General Assembly in Little Rock is ending today. Much of the legislation to be discussed over the next few months is still being considered and written. As Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis reports, two legislators from Northwest Arkansas are drafting a bill to deal with the problem of wage theft.
Two state legislators from Northwest Arkansas are working toward a bill aimed at curbing the practice of wage theft. District 86 Representative Greg Letting is behind the proposed bill.
Basically, we're just looking to enforce some existing law to make sure that employees who quit or are terminated are able to get their any wages owed to them as quickly as possible without placing a burden on the employer.
He says that the proposed bill would give employees the means to go to the state's Department of Labor to get help obtaining wages that are owed to them. This isn't the first time that Letting has pushed an anti-wage theft bill. During the last General Assembly, he filed House Bill 1881, which failed on its third reading.
There were some concerns from a few of our Republican colleagues about what happens if an employee quits or is terminated and is owed wages, but perhaps still has some property of the company in his or her possession, and maybe that property is even worth more than the wages that are still owed. They were concerned that this would somehow prevent the companies from being able to go and get that property back. I think we've maybe worked that issue out.
The main provision of the bill, as it was written last time around and as it will likely be presented during this session, stated that an employer be required to pay all wages in full no later than 7 days after an employee is discharged, or no later than the regularly scheduled payday for the pay period worked. In addition, Letting says that this time, the bill has bipartisan support. State Senator John Woods of Springdale, who as a member of the House last session voted for the bill, says he will back the new bill on the Senate side of the legislature when it comes out of the House.
I've agreed to help Greg with that, and it's a bill that he's extremely passionate about as well. And I look forward to, you know, good bipartisanship spirit in Little Rock and working together with him and helping the individuals out that worked hard for their money. And, you know, if they're let go and, you know, the employer doesn't need to be holding that money for 6 months or a year, they need to make good on the payments that that individual worked hard for that money. They need to be paid in a quick manner and, you know, relatively very short time period after being let go or, you know, laid off, whatever the circumstance might be.
Woods says that if the bill is successful, enforcement would require employees know who to call if they aren't being paid by employers in a timely manner.
We have individuals that people in the community can call and reach to if they're having complaints or problems or issues that they can contact. And we'll make sure and have those numbers and contact information out and do a marketing campaign to individuals and which office to contact. But we'll have that under the supervision of an agency where they can help out.
That agency would be the Arkansas Department of Labor. The department currently allows some employees to file claims for unpaid wages, but only if the employee in question makes less than $25,000 per year, and only if that employee is owed less than $2,000. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Timothy Dennis.
This is Ozarks at Large. A former state lawmaker who has led key efforts concerning state highways was yesterday appointed to the Arkansas Highway Commission. Michael Hiblin from our content partner KUAR has the details.
Governor Mike Beebe made the announcement.
Highway Commission appointments are big deals, and frankly, they're one of the most, if not the most, sought-after gubernatorial commission appointment that we've got, and we've got a great commission over there. They work very hard.
With that, he announced former House Speaker Robert Moore will serve on the commission for the next 10 years. The 68-year-old reflected on what highways in the state were like when he was a kid.
The trip from Arkansas City to Little Rock was a hair-raising four-hour trip. It took us to get up here. And it was my daddy was a county sheriff, and he drove pretty fast. And it was still a long trip, a lot of curves. And And now when we make this trip in under 2 hours, cruise control most of the way, you have a first-hand realization of the importance of what good roads means to rural Arkansas.
Moore led efforts for better highways during his time in the legislature and backed recent funding increases, warning if the state didn't fix its roads, financial problems would follow.
Business and industry, undoubtedly, good roads, what it means to future economic development of the state, cannot be overstated. And Governor, another matter that I spent a lot of time with you on is tourism and the number two industry in the state. We know that we have a tremendous diversity in the natural state, and we have a great tourism base, but in order for people visiting our state to access and enjoy the amenities of our state and, more importantly, sometimes spend their money, we got to have good roads to get them safely where they want to go.
Moore said he will look for innovative ways to meet the challenges in funding Arkansas's highway needs. An idea being floated in the legislature is to use state general revenue for highway funding. That's on top of a 10-year, nearly $2 billion highway package approved by voters last year. In Little Rock, I'm Michael Hiblin.
It is Friday, January 18th, 2013. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Callum.
I'm Ms. Margarita.
And with us, Becca Martin-Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Well, this is, of course, a big weekend.
Mm-hmm. It's a holiday weekend.
It's the debut of the Fort Smith Regional Art Museum.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes it is. I got a slight walkthrough earlier this week. It's going to be fantastic.
Opening day hours are 1 to 5 o'clock Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some amazing art to see in Northwest Arkansas, and I'm particularly excited about one show.
And that is?
It's a physician named Johnny Adkins, who I've known since his little kids were little kids, and they're not anymore. Who knew that he drags home trees and stumps?
And makes furniture?
And logs. Well, he makes furniture, but he also makes art. Wall hangings and this giant... I'm holding my arms out. You can't see that. This giant, like 8-foot-long fish that has carved teeth and it has hidden compartments in its head. And just beautiful, amazing things. A lot of what he drags home has rotted. Mm-hmm. And if you clean that up and you stabilize it, you get like beautiful reds and oranges and patterns. It's just gorgeous.
How did he figure all of that out?
I don't know. He started dragging things home. He'd always carved wood, like when he was a resident.
So he was familiar with the medium.
And then people started telling him, oh, here's a great piece of wood, or here's a place where you can go get a great log. And then it became whole trees. He broke the trailer with one.
Uh-oh.
And so his whole workshop is full of trees, and his whole yard on East Mountain is full of trees. And he figured out that if he wanted to keep making things, he had to let go of some of it. So he has this show. It starts Saturday evening, 4 to 9, with a reception, and it's at the former Nelms Adventure Subaru Showroom on North College in Fayetteville. Lots of room, so lots of big pieces of art. And there'll be music by his son, who's a drummer, and his girlfriend, Candy Lee.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be art by his daughter, Kate, who's a multimedia artist. And then the show continues through January 27th.
And it's going to stay there at the former Subaru.
Right. And you can go from there Saturday evening. You could hit the show and then go on to Fun Bags at the UARC Bowl at 8 o'clock. And you could have a heck of an evening for
$5. Yeah, no kidding.
Also this weekend, another cool art show, the Arkansas Champion Trees exhibit, some of which is at the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks, some of which is at the Fayetteville Public Library. It's by a Hot Springs artist named Linda Williams Palmer, and if you didn't know the state had champion trees, you need to Google it. It's kind of cool. The garden is charging $5 admission for adults, free to members, and the library, of course, is free and open during library hours. Bored kids?
Probably. Somebody knows them.
Saturday, Wonders of Winter Wildlife at Hobbs State Park from 10 to 4. And one of the presenters at 2 o'clock will be Lynn Scombedo,
who's always fascinating, talking about the birds of prey. Mm-hmm.
And we'll have cool, great, big flying things. I wonder if Igor is still alive.
The turkey buzzard?
Uh-huh.
Yep.
A turkey buzzard?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a turkey vulture.
Turkey vulture, I mean.
Yeah.
Sorry. As of earlier this week,
he was
scheduled to appear.
Excellent. Oh. Saturday morning at 10:30 at the Fayetteville Public Library, there's a Shaky Bugs Family Concert with Jules Taylor.
I bet that's free.
One of my favorite people in the world. Yes, it is. Or you can spend $10 or $20 and go to the Velveteen Rabbit Saturday afternoon at the Walton Art Center. This production includes local children from the new school.
And doing not just standing around, but...
Are they dancing or something?
Dancing, and they've been practicing lifts, and I mean real, honest
mm-hmm.
to goodness
oh, wow.
part of the show.
Very cool.
One show only, 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon. On Sunday, there's a discussion at Crystal Bridges at 3 o'clock called The Art of Science and Light,
mm-hmm.
part of the Great Hall Lecture Series. And at 4 o'clock, there's a tableside theater production at Acoustic Mud in Bella Vista, a cool new place if you haven't been there, called Laundry and Bourbon. Yeah, they're doing mostly lighthearted
right.
murder mystery type of things. Should be fun. Doors open at 3:30, and cost with dinner is $32.50. And then Monday evening, because we won't be here on Monday.
Because we're going to be preempted by the inauguration.
Something close to my heart. It's a closing reception for the Clay for Cancer show, which is at the Nadine Baum Studios. It's a project between the Community Creative Center and the Fayetteville Washington Regional Cancer Support Home. And my late husband went to some of these classes, had a great time. You need to go see what these people are making. And it's also a meet and greet for Meg Skaggs, who's the new program administrator at the Community Creative Center. That happens from 6 to 8 on Monday. And it is also our favorite word.
Free.
Great. That's quite the lineup.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Hello, this is Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz every Friday and Saturday, beginning at 10 p.m. This Friday, I'll feature some great music from vibraphonist Milt Jackson and Hammond B3 organist Dr. Lonnie Smith. We'll also hear from Stan Getz and Sonny Fortune. This and much more. That's Friday at 10 p.m. on Shades of Jazz.
A little bit later on this edition of Ozarks at Large, we'll give away the last two pairs of tickets to see Threepenny Acre and the Steel Wheels at George's Majestic Lounge Tuesday night. Tickets are going fast, by the way, from what I understand, because Brian and Threepenny Acre were inside the building this morning recording a session for Saturday night's Pick and Post with Mike Shirky. That'll be Saturday night at 7. They did a handful of tunes. And good news, Threepenny Acre fans, the new CD is going through the final mix tonight.
Mm.
So we should have, after it's been duplicated and all that, should have a release mid-spring.
Perfect.
Yes. Okay. Anyway, the two tickets will be given away later today.
Support for KUAF comes from George's Majestic Lounge and Fayetteville Roots, presenting bluegrass recording artists The Steel Wheels and Threepenny Acre Tuesday, January 22nd. Doors open at 7 p.m. with the show at 8. Limited table seating is available. georgesmajesticlounge.com for more information.
As Becca mentioned, this is a big weekend for visual arts in the area with the opening of the Regional Arts Museum in Fort Smith tomorrow night. In about 5 minutes, a preview of that opening. First, another gallery is getting ready for a different kind of debut soon. Scott Carroll's first Arkansas exhibit, influenced by his relationship with the outdoors, opens Tuesday night in the Joy Pratt Markham Gallery at Walton Art Center in Fayetteville. Scott is a sculptor, born in Louisiana, but he became aware of the Ozarks at an early age.
No matter where I've lived and been, Montana and the Alaska, the California, all the western states, I mean, all those beautiful spots, no question, but the Ozarks left the most impression that of any natural place ever was, and it was always my reference point. And so to be able to come back here and And it's funny, you know, how you are when you're a kid and things impress you, and they're not quite the same when you're older, usually. I would say the opposite, though. I mean, the Ozarks are grander and even more important to me now than they even were as a kid, and they were probably the biggest, important kind of experience was to experience the Ozarks. And it just has all these mysteries. It has the water and the caves and the creeks.
Scott Carroll's sculpture embodies secrets and nature. He works with wood, with lead, almost any natural substance he can find. He has a degree in geology, and the title of his show at Walton Arts Center is Tectonics, a word associated with massive earthly shifts like earthquakes and volcanoes. Some of his work suggests massive, too heavy and large, but some of the sculpture is also quite fragile in appearance, requiring a blend of balance and finesse to stand.
Just as in life, you know, I kind of really actually relate it that way. There are all these grand events, you know, weddings and funerals and anniversaries, those things, and they're great, they're wonderful, and they can be just incredible experiences and memorable. But like my favorite author, Jim Harrison, always says, you know, what we really are is what we are, what we do every day, you know. And so same thing in geology. I mean, right now it seems like we're standing still and pretty solid, but in fact we're moving and everything is in flux. So even that slight movement, that slight gesture, whatever, you know, can sometimes be this grand one, you know. So it's not always the prettiest, or, you know, what we think of as pretty or perfect or grand. Sometimes it's these little tiny things, these little things, if you'll use your eye or your, be aware. You notice these things in nature, too. These slight movements, these slight things are grand, in fact. So
Scott lives in Arkansas now, and though he's shown in galleries throughout the South and his works can be seen at places like the Ford Motor Corporation in Detroit, this exhibit is his first in the state. Yesterday, he was still lifting his work into the empty gallery, contemplating where each work would be in conjunction to the others. Some of his sculptures, including many that will be mounted on walls, he says can be hung with one side at the top or at the bottom. He embraces the concept of differing perceptions.
Again, when you're in nature, that subtle difference, sometimes your perspective. I mean, for example, I like to canoe and kayak. Well, just being in a canoe is already being very at one with water, and you feel very close to it. But that 6 or 8 inches difference when you get down in a kayak and your eyes are just that much lower to the water, it's a completely different experience. I would say it's not even similar, because now your eyes are more like the animal that's on the water, that duck, that goose, that beaver. You're really a lot closer to the water, and that changes things. You know, so same thing in viewing. You know, again, I would like to think that goes with these pieces. I mean, it's really about, these are all almost inspired by the time that I do spend in nature and what I do view and what through the years, the way things have been digested by my eyes.
Scott Carroll's exhibit, Tectonics, will open with a reception Tuesday night at the Joy Pratt Markham Gallery inside Walton Arts Center on Dixon Street in Fayetteville. There is much more from the conversation we had yesterday while he was preparing the show, including why engineering is vital when it comes to sculpture, why music is important in his creative process, and more. You can hear that audio extra at our webpage, ozarksatlarge.com. Now, tomorrow night, the brand new Regional Art Museum in Fort Smith will open its doors to the public for the very first time. The museum will combine missions of highlighting artists from the region as well as hosting traveling exhibits. The first national temporary exhibit is called The Secrets of Mona Lisa. And Tuesday, about 100 hours or so before the grand opening, the works included in that exhibit were splayed across the new museum's floor, waiting to be placed on the walls. The museum's home is a donated space from Arvest, a 16,000-square-foot mid-century building that was formerly a bank. Tuesday afternoon, Lee Ortega, the museum's executive director, had just enough time to talk about the opening.
The countdown has begun.
So what does that mean? What happens between now and the 100 hours?
Between now and the 100 hours, we're finishing up installing the exhibition. We have two exhibitions that will be on view. And one is going to be Secrets of the Mona Lisa. And upstairs we're going to have works from our permanent collection created by local and regional artists. We thought it was very fitting to show works of local and regional artists on our opening.
Well, as I look around and the hanging is yet to be completed, I see a lot of the Mona Lisa.
Yes, The Secrets of the Mona Lisa is an extraordinary exhibition because it combines science, art, and pop culture to a certain extent. And our keynote speaker for the evening is Pascal Cote, who is a leading expert of the Mona Lisa, and he will be in Fort Smith for 3 days. And this exhibition reveals his findings, the secrets that were revealed, 25 secrets, which you'll see when you come to see the exhibition.
Looks like a museum, doesn't it?
Yes, yes. We've had a lot of people involved in this project, and it has been a project with a capital P. We basically started from zero, completely gutted the building, and started from the ground up. A brand new HVAC system, a brand new electrical. We had our award-winning architects, Polk Stanley Wilcox, work very hard, as you can see, on the interior of the building, as well as the exterior. And we of course tried to keep the integrity of the mid-century design as intact as possible, and I think they did a great job.
The exposed stairways, and yes, you come in here and you think mid-century Atomic Ranch sort of.
Yes,
feel.
And the terrazzo flooring is a beautiful feature of the building, and that is a real, that's a key component to our interior.
Can I look upstairs just
for
a minute?
Absolutely. The name of this exhibition is Faces of Arkansas. And then starting in February, Valentine's Day, we're opening the second tier to this exhibition, which is works of portraiture from the Arkansas Arts Center. And what's wonderful about these galleries is that these are temporary walls that can actually be broken apart, taken down, and reconfigured. So we've purposely left the galleries open in this open format so we have that capability.
Well, that makes it very flexible.
It does, and it means that we can accommodate any type of exhibition, photography, works of sculpture, new media, and part of what our goal is to have our visitors have a different experience every time they walk through our front doors.
A city of more than 80,000, second largest city in Arkansas, what does it mean to finally have a thriving, rotating visual arts venue?
I personally think it's going to add a lot to the community. I think this is, Fort Smith is a wonderful town, but I think that it would definitely enhance the draw for visitors, not only visitors, but people looking to relocate. I think it raises awareness for this area in the way that it really needs to happen. I mean, now's the time. Now's when change is taking place in Northwest Arkansas in a lot of different ways, and we really need to be part of that.
What's it like to be this close? I mean, this has been a lot of hard work, and a lot of dreams went into to get to where we are.
It's exciting. I think that everyone's more than ready to have the museum open, to have the first museum in Fort Smith open. It's overdue, and we're all very excited and happy, and we just can't wait to get these doors open.
Lee Ortega is the executive director of the Regional Art Museum, or RAM, in downtown Fort Smith on Rogers Avenue. The museum opens with a gala tomorrow night beginning at 7. Many school group tours have already been booked. The museum will be open to the public Thursday through Sunday from 10 until 5. The grounds outside the museum will also include a sculpture garden with rotating exhibits. Our conversation took place early Tuesday afternoon at the museum.
Terry Francona won 2 World Series managing the Boston Red Sox, but it's hard to manage Boston's raucous press, temperamental stars, and demanding fans.
A year in Boston should be like dog years because it ages you not in proportion to normal jobs.
Terry Francona, the Red Sox year, Saturday on Weekend Edition from NPR News.
Weekend Edition, Saturday, tomorrow morning from 7 until 9 on KUAF 91.3 FM.
This is Ozarks at Large, and we have more music on this edition of Ozarks from inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio. Recently, Robert Ginsberg, the host of Shades of Jazz each Friday and Saturday night on KUAF, begins at 10 each Friday and Saturday night, invited Claudia Burson to come to our studio. Claudia has built a legion of fans around here and beyond with her subtle playing, both solo and with her trio.
Thank you.
in the Furman Garner studio with me this evening, Claudia Burson. Claudia, thanks for coming up.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And hopefully I'm going to persuade you to play some music for us a little later, but I wanted to talk to you a little bit briefly about what you've been up to. You're still teaching over at the university.
I am.
And you're teaching combo classes for jazz musicians?
Well, we'll see. But normally we do combos. Jim Greason and myself will pick a combo out of the larger jazz ensemble. And if not through that jazz ensemble, we might do, like last semester we did four saxophones and worked with them to improv.
Right. You know. And you typically have some private lessons that you do as well.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Private piano.
You still have your steady gig every Sunday at Copeland's?
Every Sunday at Copeland's. Except the third Sunday is Ben Harris on guitar.
Oh, he gives you a break?
He gives me a break.
Okay. That gig has been going on for a long time. That's the Sunday brunch at Copeland's. It's from 11?
11 in the morning on Sundays until 2.
And you're there with the trio, unless it's the Sunday that Ben is there.
Right.
And, of course, you play various club dates and wedding gigs and other venues. You played this last New Year's Eve for part of last night. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think a lot of people, as many people who are familiar with your playing, a lot of people don't realize that you are a composer as well.
Well, I don't call myself a composer, but every now and then I get inspired. And so I'll write something from the inspiration. You know, not on a roll by any means, composing tunes, but, you know, I still have hope that I can write more.
Well, and I'm sure inspiration comes from quite a diverse set of sources as well.
Oh, yeah.
Uplifting, and in some cases maybe...
From the musicians that I work with, I get inspired. Mm. I noticed New Year's Eve, you know, the music was different with each artist that sat in with the trio.
That's right. You were there with your trio with Steve Wilkes on drums and Drew Packard on bass, and then Nathan McLeod sat in the first hour on sax.
Uh-huh.
The second hour, Jim Greason on guitar.
Uh-huh.
And then the final hour, Gary Sloan stepped in on the upright bass, and
yeah,
Drew took off.
That was fun.
So that, yeah, I'm sure that has to impact the playing.
It does.
Well, what can you tell me about this tune you're going to play for us? This is one of your compositions.
Well, it was inspired from a trombonist I knew in Houston. His name is Richard Waters. And at the time that I met him, he was no longer playing the trombone. He was dealing with Alzheimer's. And so we did get his horn out one night and he wasn't able to really blow on it, but he lit up when that trombone, when he opened that case and saw that trombone. Mr. Waters just by the way he was, just inspired me to
Richard
write
Waters.
This tune for him. Uh-huh.
And what's the name of the tune?
Good Night, Mr. Waters, because every night that I would leave, I would say, Good Night, Mr. Waters.
So, and this is sort of a gospel-inspired tune.
It is.
Great. Feel like playing it?
Sure.
Thank you.
Claudia, that was delightful. That made me want to get up and shout.
Well, I'm so glad.
Good night, Mr. Waters.
Good night, Mr. Waters.
So I got to ask you, it's been a long time since the Claudia Burson Trio has released a CD. Any plans for that on the horizon?
Oh, yeah.
Good. Maybe 2013, huh?
Oh, definitely.
Excellent, Claudia. Excellent.
Definitely.
Well, I want to thank you for coming up here and playing. Can I get you to promise to come back?
I would love to.
Maybe we'll bring the trio up.
We would love to come.
Great. Claudia Burson, homegrown, Fayetteville-born musician and composer. And I'm going to call you a composer whether you call yourself one or not. Thanks, Claudia.
Listener-supported service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Scottsville.
Scottsville is?
In Pope County. It's northeast of Dover.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Certainly in the listening area.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Tickets.
The last two pair of tickets we have to give away to the Three Penny Acre and Steel Wheels show at George's Majestic Lounge. It's Tuesday night.
Yes.
And I asked a question yesterday. The question was, William R. King, John C. Breckinridge, and Hannibal Hamlin were the 13th, 14th, and 15th what, respectively?
Oh, Lord. I've heard those names, and
William
I have
R. King,
no idea.
John C. Breckinridge. Hannibal Hamlin, 13th, 14th, and 15th what?
Dang it. I don't know.
Vice presidents of the United States.
There it is. I started to say, they seem like presidents, but I know those aren't presidents.
Yes, William King from Alabama was one of the vice presidents who died in office. He died in 1853. He was followed by John C. Breckinridge, who was the 14th. Hannibal Hamlin.
That's the one I remember.
Was the 15th vice president of the United States. If I had told you that Andrew Johnson was 16th,
uh-huh.
or that Millard Fillmore was on the other and 12th, you would have known.
Yes.
Or that would have helped.
That would have helped.
Did you know seven vice presidents have died in office?
Seriously?
Yes. And I doubt you would recognize any of their names.
Well, sure.
But anyway.
Huh.
The 17th vice president of the United States, by the way, of course, Schuyler Colfax.
Of course.
Isn't it unfair that you could be vice president of the United States and most people don't know who you – wouldn't recognize your name? I know that it is at often, especially – in the 19th and 18th centuries, a thankless job.
Sure.
But still, we should know if you were the second in command of the United States.
Maybe that's something that you can get put into the school curriculums or something. I don't know.
I'll try. Now, so, we had people with correct answers.
Yes.
And pulling out two winners, Shannon Roll
mm-hmm.
and Raymond Palmer.
Congratulations.
You have won the last two pairs of tickets. They'll be available here for pickup between now and Tuesday during regular business hours.
Yes, I'm looking forward to the show.
It's going to be a great show.
I mean, I know I've seen them both play before, but I think there's something about people that do very well. Like, there's some people that are just better live.
Yes.
And I could just keep going back, and it does, which surprises me, because when I was younger, people, the concerts I would go to, you know, a lot of times people would only come through rarely.
Right.
So you would obviously go.
Right.
And you'd think that was the only time you'd get to see them because, I mean, especially as like a teenager, you're probably not going to get in your car to
exactly.
drive to Dallas or anything like that. But yeah, as I've gotten older and I've gotten to go to more of the shows around here and people do pass through, I kind of like the idea of going back and seeing the ones that were really
sure.
good.
Sure. And then, you know, folks who were locally grown, be it Sarah Hughes
mm-hmm.
or Chase Missey
mm-hmm.
or Kate's or Three Penny, I've liked seeing them all the time.
I think I prefer live shows. I really
yes.
do. I mean, I love albums and stuff, but I think the type of music that I prefer to listen to, those people really shine live.
Speaking of live music, the last of the three lineups from Wakarusa announced mm-hmm. yesterday. Kevin Kinder, who covers music for Northwest Arkansas Media, will be with Christina Thomas and myself Sunday morning on Weekend Ozarks at Large to talk about that lineup
mm-hmm.
and what he's excited about.
I'm excited. I went to Harvest Festival for the first time in the fall.
Which is also in Mulberry
Mountain. It's the same place.
Yes.
So I'm really glad. Apparently, everybody was telling me, you know, if you love this, you're going to love Wakarusa. It's so much bigger. So I'm glad I got started with the smaller one.
Yeah.
But I was really excited about, I don't know about you, but I was really excited about Of Monsters and Men.
Yes, I'm very excited about that.
Because I wanted to see them in Kansas City, and then and tickets sold out and all the good stuff. So I'm really excited about them. Some return people. I'm excited about Delta Ray coming back because I got to see them at Harvest Festival. Another one of those bands that I can listen to their album, but they're so much better live. Like, I don't think you understand how vocally talented they are until you're standing there.
Calexico's on the lineup. There's
excited
a lot of good
about
bands.
That. Yeah.
And more live music and more chances for you to see live music. Sona, their next concert is a week from tomorrow, the 26th. We're going to have free tickets to give away next week on Ozarks at Large. So you can see it's Masterworks 2.
Got all kinds of music for everybody.
We do. And Mara Leverett, who is not a musician, but is an author. She wrote Devil's Not the True Story of West Memphis 3.
Okay, I thought that name was familiar.
Yes. She will be speaking February 13th on the University of Arkansas Fort Smith campus. It's one of those that's best if you don't have a regular job because it's 1:30 in the Reynolds Room of the Smith Vandergraff Campus Center.
Maybe you can take a lunch, your lunch hour or something.
Right. You know, for basically for students at UAFS.
Well, sure.
It is free and open to the public, and there will be question and answer. She'll talk about her work about the West Memphis 3. Of course, her book has inspired the movie that will be soon released.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Colin Firth and Reese Witherspoon.
Is it being shot over in West Memphis? Do you know?
I believe so.
It seems like it would be.
I believe so.
Okay, cool.
Or Memphis, at least, if not West Memphis. Anyway, she'll be speaking February 13th on the UAFS campus. So that's kind of exciting. And one sports note, if I can get it in time.
Yes.
University of Arkansas swimming and diving team, now number 18 in the country.
Wow.
They went up in the polls after beating Penn State in their last meet of the season on the UA campus.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And is it baseball season yet? Are we close?
College baseball season, we're about 3 weeks away.
Okay.
3.5 weeks away.
I can never remember when it starts. It seems like it's earlier than it should be, but then...
It's around February 17th. There is now a national starting date.
Oh, really?
Arkansas will open that day, and they are at Baum Stadium. On their first 10 to 12 games are at Baum before they go to a tournament in Surprise, Arizona. Preseason number one team in the country.
Oh.
So much excitement around the Razorback baseball team.
I'm very excited about that.
I am too. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Christina Thomas and I will be together Sunday morning at 9 for Weekend Ozarks at Large. No noon show Monday. We'll be back noon Tuesday with a new show.
We will. Happy weekend.